as we prepare for Yom Kippur, continue on in the eighth and final perek. So the Mishnah says, Misha achso bulmos. Bulmos is a disease that's caused by malnutrition, and it can eventually become a fatal kind of a disease. So ma'achimen oso afilu dvarim tmeyim ad shi oru enav. So one of the ways that clinically one could see that this disease was taking root is that there was a certain appearance in the eyes where it looked like the eyes were glazed over. And then when a person was recovering from this disease, you could see that there was a certain, for lack of a better term, a certain kind of a spark in their eyes. I mean, this is very clinically apparent. You didn't have a blood test that you could do, or you didn't, you know, they didn't have PCR scanners and the like, but they could tell when a person was in the throes of the disease and when a person recovered. So you could feed a person non-kosher things because this has the capacity to reach the level of a suffix sakana. Now, the Rambam says that what you should do in this situation is first start with relatively less severe averos. So something only, let's say, an Isser Derabbanan, and then you could move to an Isser Deraisa. Try to avoid things like Yisurei Kares, like Chelev and the like, you know, or if it was Pesach, you know, Chametz on Pesach. So to try to avoid those things, you start Hakal Kodem. Now, of course, if it's already a Suffolk Nefasho, so Suffolk Nefasho is Doches Kol HaTorah Kula, and, you know, one has to proceed in the most determined, aggressive way possible. So Misha Neshacho Kelev Shota, let's say a person was bitten by a rabid dog. So there's a big discussion. Obviously, anything from a dog is tame yotze min hatame, tame yotze min hatar tar. So there's a big debate whether or not this was an evidence-based medical practice. The Rambam writes about this a lot. So are you allowed to feed it of the dog liver? There were some people that held that this was a remedy. And the Rambam says it's not evidence-based. So the majority position is no. You have no right to get, if it was scientifically demonstrated, right? If it was really a refuah, the Rambam says, of course, you could give it for that. But since it's not demonstrated, there's no benefit, so why would you give the person something non-kosher to eat? You only give a person something non-kosher if it has a medical benefit. So that's the nature of this debate in this context. Choshesh Bigrono, somebody who was feeling something in their throat, Ma'atilin Osam B'soch Piv B'Shabbos, you're allowed to give them medicine right away on Shabbos. Mideshu Savik Nefashos, the whole Savik Nefashos, Docha Es HaShabbos. And as is explained, even if we know that it's not going to cause a person's demise today, and you say, okay, you know, at some point this could become very dangerous, but what we'll do is we'll wait till Motzai Shabbos, then we'll start the course of medication. No. Now, once you have a situation on hand where even though they're not going to die before the end of Shabbos, but it's already in this category, you start treating them immediately. You're not going to wait until after Shabbos to start, let's say it was an 8-day, you know, course of medicine. You say, oh, let's wait until Sunday. That way we'll only have to be Mechala one Shabbos. That's not the proper way of thinking because, again, the Safik Nefashos, once that situation settles in, Docha Es HaShabbos, and as we quoted the name of Reb Chaim two nights ago, we talked about that Reb Chaim felt so strongly about this, he didn't let Reb Moshe pass it otherwise. Same thing, of course, is true on Yom Kippur. Once you have a Safik Nefashos, you don't play around with Shiurim, you go straight to the most aggressive interventions that are necessary. Misha Nafla Lav Mapolas, if there's a situation where a person, you know, this happens in earthquakes and the like. I remember a few years back, we had this in South Florida with that condominium that collapsed. Terrible situation. A lot of Jewish people down there, of course. So in that kind of situation, so now you're going to have multiple sfeikos. So safek husham, safek enusham. You have no idea who's under the rubble, who's not under the rubble. It's hard to figure out. Okay? And removing the rubble is going to be malacha daraisa, of choresh, of chafira. You're going to be literally digging there, you know, and the like. So there's one suffix. Then suffix chai, suffix, even if they're there, then there's a suffix whether they're still alive or not. Probably the likelihood is that they didn't survive this kind of a situation. And then a third suffix, suffix nachri, suffix Yisrael. Mifakhin olav es hagal. So nonetheless, you would still violate Shabbos, and this is a case of sfeik, sfeik, sfeika. Three sveikos, right? Number one, we don't know that the person is there. Even if they're there, they might already be dead. We don't know if the person is Jewish. Of course, we save non-Jewish people on Shabbos also, but that's really Mishumeva. So you have three sveikos, and yet, b'makom safik, 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 sveik, sveik, sveika, we still would be mechalal Shabbos in the Raisa level. Mitza'u chai, mefakchen alav, you find the person is still alive, So then you can remove, continue to dig. V'imeis yanichu. So the question in the Gemara is, well, why do you need to say this? That the person is dead, why are you going to continue to violate Shabbos? So the answer is, because that's how seriously we take kavod hameis, that you might have had a havamina, that even though you're not going to save the person's life anymore, but to be able to, you know, make sure that the body was, respected, so you might have thought, okay, so you know we'll start moving the body around. So dead body is considered muktzah on Shabbos, but there is an important exception to this in a case where there could be a denigration of the body. We that is certainly a very important area to talk about. Another one is if there's a fire. So if there's a fire, we allow people to move the body because we know how people are going to be psychologically incapable of restraining themselves, and they're going to come to be mechabes adleika. They're going to come to violate, even though there's nobody alive anymore, they're going to come to put out the fire anyway. So we say that the body should be moved under those circumstances. Lo aleinu, if the situation happens that the halacha is that a person passed away on Shabbos, the body is not considered to be something that has any function on Shabbos, so just the body is usually oriented, I mean, I guess the feet towards the door, and not touched until after Shabbos. But again, there are some exceptions here, and those are important to be aware of. And this, of course, does come up in a very practical way. One out of every seven cases, pretty much of, Ptiros, this is what happens. So it is something that does happen very practically, and thank God we work with wonderful Chavra Kedisha, and they're so, careful and, do such wonderful things after Shabbos, and, we've been very blessed by their ongoing services. Rabbi Chanani ben Akash, Kedosh Baruch Hu, Zakos, Yisrael,